ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नारायण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम 10-6 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 12। अविद्वान् अविद्वानेवमात्मानम् मन्यते निशमीश्वरम् भूतैसृजति भूतानि ग्रसते तानि तैस्वयम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation: A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and the mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Purport. According to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, one's karma or previous fruitive activity is the cause of everything, and therefore there is no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord. As the Lord himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. Unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not the creators of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruitive activities, he is put into the semen of a father who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. Then, according to the body of the father and mother, yatha yoni yatha bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer or enjoy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of one's being killed. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra's glorious death. We are about to witness this departure of a demon who has accepted a demonic body as a result of a curse. And has still maintained his consciousness. And we find that in this chapter, it's nothing but Vritrasur, who is later revealed to be Maharaj Chitraketu, as Parikshit Maharaj asks, how did Vritrasur maintain his consciousness? Normally we cannot maintain our consciousness. It's a gift, especially if it is a consciousness which is geared towards serving Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada quotes here, matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna has to give these three things: knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. When the living entity is in the material world, he needs knowledge of how to enjoy it. And there is no dearth. We find this particular time in this particular material universe that we are staying in. They call it the knowledge economy. Everything is based on knowledge. Of course, what is termed as knowledge mostly becomes just data, information, at best, at worst, becomes avidya or unknowledge. There is nothing like unknowledge, but ignorance, falsified knowledge, half-truths, or at worst, plain lies. A few weeks ago, the Prime Minister of a European country, in a nationwide broadcast, told his people that I become Prime Minister for the last 9 months or so, and I'm sorry to tell you that I have lied. All the parameters of economic growth, which my party has told you that our country is, you know, booming, 9%, 9.2% inflation is under control, all the key parameters are rising. I'm sorry, they are all lies. And people were shocked. Well, he said, there is nothing to be shocked. My advisors lied to me. I don't know what happened, but then they said, it is like that. So I just told you. So someone said, then step down. Don't remain as the Prime Minister. He said, but I don't think this is a reason for me to step down. What's so bad about it? So these kind of kings are described in the 12th canto. Rajanya praja bhakshishanti. These kings will be devouring their own population. Normally, when a living entity gives birth to an offspring, we say this is the mother, like a mother crocodile, a mother croc. Her jaws have the power to crack the spine of a buffalo. That is the power in their jaws. If a buffalo is found in the waters and a crocodile catches it, with its jaw power it can crack open the back spine. But the same jaw very gently opens the egg. When it lays its eggs and the eggs are hatched, that same jaw can act so deftly, so gently, so that the baby can come out. And we say, well, look at this motherly love. And then we find that some animals, they eat their own offspring if there is no food. And we say, oh, how horrible. But then human beings are catching up. Even human beings in some parts of the world, it's rumored or reported, they eat the placenta, they eat aborted fetuses. So they are catching up. It's the same thing. So we feel very horrible. How they can do that? So therefore, the living entity needs knowledge. Even to enjoy this world, somebody has to tell him, this is how you enjoy. So knowledge comes from Krishna as a Paramatma. Even a pig needs to be told that this is stool, this is your food, go and eat. The next part is remembrance. The living entity needs remembrance of what? Sometimes you feel, I don't feel myself Indian. This country is no good. I don't feel belonging to this community. I don't feel belonging to this. So anytime the mood to enjoy this world becomes slack, you need to be told that, hey, you are the enjoyer. This world is meant for your enjoyment. Look around. There are poets, authors, and other agents of the illusory energy to remind you again and again that typical case, somebody is suicidal and he says, enough, I can't take another day. And then somebody says, tomorrow the birds will sing. The sun will rise for you. The birds will sing for you. And you say, oh yes, that's true. Now if you ask the birds that, are you perched on this branch singing for this fellow who is sleeping in this bedroom here? If they could answer, they say, who, what? I'm shouting for food, I'm hungry for the last 6 hours. So what you poets call our singing is like a shrieking sound coming from the bottom of my stomach because I'm hungry. So that's a relative part of this world. They say the early bird gets the worm, right? Someone added a twist. The early worm takes the bird. If you are too early in the day, some bird may catch you. So don't be too early also as a worm. So we find a bird nicely going through some green grass. And say, oh, how nicely he's pecking, how nicely he's eating his food. Ask the worm how it feels to be in the beak of that small bird. For him, it's no enjoyment. If you tell him it's a nice sunny day, he says, it's hell, I'm dying. So therefore, this remembrance that I am the enjoyer. And some forgetfulness too. What is that forgetfulness? That there is something called God, there is a Supreme Personality, and He controls. So remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness are all geared towards making our stay permanent in this world. Similarly, there is remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness in the pure spiritual realm too. There is knowledge of one's service. Siddha Deha means you are a perfected body, perfected mind, perfected intelligence. There is remembrance of sweet pastimes of Krishna. And there is forgetfulness. Firstly, forgetfulness that there is something called material world for those who have come here and gone back. And there is remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness for the in-betweeners too. The in-betweeners are like you and me, the sadhakas. We are rooted in this material world and our sights are in the spiritual world. We are here, we are aspiring to be there. Now what is the remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness for us? For us, remembrance is desperately try to remember that there is something called Nitya Seva, eternal service to Krishna. If you can't remember yourself, learn about it from the life of perfected souls. Today is the disappearance day of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. We'll try to see and enumerate his glories sometime later. Knowledge, as the Acharyas explained, Vishwanath Chakravartipad and Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we need knowledge for bhakti, and that knowledge is how to increase our bhakti. That knowledge is not meant as the jnana marga. There is a separate field called jnana marga where you cultivate knowledge with the desire that I will control Krishna with that, I'll control God with that. The living entity is called foolish here. Sometimes we feel, what pleasure the sadhus get by criticizing someone like that? Sadhus are supposed to be completely based in equanimity, sitta pragya. So somebody is sitta pragya. If somebody curses him, somebody blesses him, he still has to be equal, same. So why do the sadhus, why does Sukadeva Goswami or why Prabhupada here it doesn't call it just foolish. A foolish, senseless person. Of course, senseless is like a not that sharp a bad word as it was before. If you call somebody, you are a nonsense. You may say, so what? So nonsense has become blunt little bit. As Kali Yuga progresses, even our abuse words become more and more sharper and more geared towards something peculiar or something very, very crass, unrefined. But here, even though Shukadeva Goswami is angry or Prabhupada gets angry sometimes, they maintain their decorum. That even when we have to give abuse words, we will maintain our level. So senseless or foolish. Why? Because such a person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Normally, if you ask someone, can you repair my car? He may say, no. Foolish, senseless, idiot. He may say, that's not my fault. If somebody asks me, can you recommend some shares I have to invest? I say, I don't know anything about it. He may say, idiot. He may say, well, that's not my field. Ask Anand Mandan Prabhu, he can ask, he can guide you. Or about some specific shastric problem or whatever, you can say, ask some learned devotees here. So in the material world, if I don't know something, either I try to cover it up, I have that defect in me, or I defend myself. Hey, don't pick me up for that. Don't pick on me for that. Somehow the shastras say, if you don't know Krishna, Prabhupada always maintained this, if you don't know who God is, you are foolish. And then what if you don't know and you speculate? Like there was something in the manner Prabhupada was going with his devotees. Harishori Prabhu writes in his diary. And Prabhupada said, and what was that? And everybody kept quiet. Nobody knew. And Harishori Prabhu said, Prabhupada, yes, do you know? Well, no, I think. Prabhupada said, you don't know, that means you are a fool. And after not knowing, you say, I think. That means you are a rascal. So not knowing is foolishness. And after not knowing when you speculate, that makes you a rascal. So Prabhupada said, don't be that. Don't remain fools and rascals. That was his thing. Fools and rascals. So fools are those who don't know. Rascals are those who don't know and they speculate. It could be like this, it could be like that. So it behooves. Another Prabhupada's favorite word, old Victorian English, it behooves means it's your responsibility to inquire about God. And why can't we inquire about God? It's a simple question, just ask who God is. But then we can see how this world is arranged in such a way that when Prabhupada used to say, there is a conspiracy, and Prabhupada used to ask, conspiracy to stop our preaching, to harm devotees? Prabhupada said, no. There's a conspiracy to kill any question about God. The very urge to ask, who is God? What can be God? Does God exist? And you find people saying, that's not very important. Like just to give a simple example, Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933. From 1939 to 1945 was the Second World War. So one devotee who was born in Germany, he asked his history teacher that, sir, what happened in Germany between 1933 and 1945? And he said, nothing interesting. Why? It's so embarrassing that we became so mad with power that we subjugated millions of people, our government, due to one man, snuffed out the lives of 6 million Jews, more than 55 million people were killed because of the war we started. So it's so embarrassing that now they say there's nothing interesting. Before 33 was like a glorious period, and after 45 was really glorious. Our country has really become a superpower, economically at least. So something similar happens that today's intelligentsia, that means people who are supposed to be intelligent, they don't inquire and they don't allow others to inquire. What happens when you're not allowed to live but are killed in a forcible way? That's a slaughterhouse, isn't it? Where you're caught, your neck comes before a blade and it's arranged. There's a plan behind it. And that's why Srila Prabhupada called today's education centers modern slaughterhouses, where innocent people are brought in, their necks resemble their urge to understand about God, and with this kind of sense gratificatory, thoroughly oriented education, it's cut. So after 15 years of such education, out comes a brand new consumer. Consume karte mar jata hai. You just consume, and then you die. And we don't give a damn whether you die or not. You consumed? Okay, that's good. Like some years ago, when China was about to open up its economy, people could really see the saliva drooling out of these multinational corporations. And one editorial came. 1 billion consumer units. They didn't see it as China. They didn't see it as a different culture. They didn't see it as a different country. 1 billion consumer units just waiting to lap up your laptops, your mobiles, your cars, your everything. Come on, you know, be practical. So this is the culture. So therefore, as sadhakas, we need to remember the lessons of bhakti yoga. We need to remember the knowledge. We need to have the knowledge what we have. And forgetfulness is something which we have to cultivate. How do we cultivate, or what is the cultivation? That cultivation is that I am the enjoyer. Sometimes it becomes very difficult that I am the enjoyer. To accept the fact that I am the enjoyer. A simple thing, you are tired after a journey, you are hot, sweaty, you take a cool drink, and you say, how nice. And you feel, I enjoyed it. What do you mean I can't enjoy? So what exactly is false in this material world? Ask anyone who is ditched in love affairs, there is no love. Anyone ditched in business transactions, what friends? All cheaters. Anyone lost in an election, what constituents? Rubbish people. Nobody has brains. Somebody losing a match, what game? I lost my money. So when you lose, and losing is not like a very difficult thing in this material world, not a very unusual thing in this material world, but anytime there is loss, there is a big propaganda about, now let us find the causes. Be very serious. And there's a big outward show that let us understand the cause so well that we'll stop it in the future. Karma mimamsakas, they commit this big mistake. This is the typical mathematical, or as psychologists would say, left-brained kind of thinking. This thing has happened. Okay, fine. What are the causes? Sir, there are 19 causes here. Isolate all of them. In management parlance, they would say, isolate all of them. Tackle each of them independently. For the next project, prevent all of them. I want success. It's fair, isn't it? That you isolate all the causes, they're all gone. Now, how can you... Like there's a plague. In Surat, there was something called a plague. Nobody knows what it actually was. It came on its own, went of its own. But then the scientists, the doctors, they isolated and they gave some vaccination. And one doctor, honest fellow, much later said, we never knew what was the case. So here Prabhupada gives the example that for a child to be born, you need a father, you need a mother. The father injects the semen in the womb of the mother, the child is born. Does it happen all the time? No. It can't. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any childless couples. So if the act of conception is only restricted to that, then every such act has to have conception and pregnancy. But it doesn't happen like that. Then what is the cause? Then what are the factors involved? Like Apollo 13, I think. The mission went up, three astronauts in their capsule. While attempting re-entry, a snag, the oxygen supply mechanism began to fail. Only about 13 hours remaining before they have to do everything. So as they say in that famous cosmonaut language, Houston, we have a problem. And what's the problem? Oxygen supply is becoming less. 200-300 top scientists, then they take help of 1,500 others, all of them gearing their intelligence towards what could be, isolate this, isolate that, is that okay, is that okay, is that okay. Finally, 3 hours remaining. Just 3 hours of oxygen supply remaining. And if they attempt re-entry in that, if the oxygen supply fails, it could also lead to failure of something else. That could be a temperature of a few hundred degrees in the capsule inside. The outer shell will get burnt. They may come in the atmosphere, but we'll only get their ashes. So scientists are trying, then they talk with the politicians, help, help, help. And finally one guy has an idea, and he said, let's pray. And they said, hey, we didn't think of that. So the church bells are tolling, tong, tong, ting, tong. And everybody's praying, all the school children are told that, look, these are the only three specimens from the human society. They are the pioneers. They can actually do something. Please pray for them. And they pray and they pray and they pray, and something like 20 minutes before that supply goes down, something clicks, something else clicks, and the supply is on, and everybody is relieved. And when the astronauts are brought down and they are felicitated, the scientists say, we did it. Well, then why did we pray then? What was the praying factor involved? How was it involved? Who can get the credit? Or like doctors may say, abhi bhagwan ke upar chhod do. So we say, why abhi? From the very beginning, we should act in such a way that I am not the doer. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am happy to say that my financial crisis is over. Prabhupada wrote a letter saying, I am very glad to learn that you have been saved from your crisis, but this doesn't mean you can evade your natural dependency on the Lord. What words Prabhupada used. Do not evade your natural dependency on the Lord. Prabhupada says, false independence in this world is vanquished every moment by the superiority of material nature. If not in your life, your neighbor's life. If not in his life, somebody else's life. Somebody else is actually having that problem all the time. Do you feel that when you go to a particular place, you have to go by a bus, and you find your particular bus doesn't come on time? How come it happens to all of us? Somebody has to enjoy. No, my bus always comes on time. It never happens like that. So even from these small things we understand, hey, this world is not geared for my enjoyment. Somebody is up there bound to see that I suffer at least a little bit here and there. Prabhupada in his room found a sparrow making a nest and told Harishori Prabhu, hey, remove it. So he said, how dare this sparrow come in this room here, you know? She will bring all kinds of dirty things. So he takes a long broom and the next day, the sparrow comes there and says, hey, my house. What happened to my house? The third day, both Prabhupada and the servant saw the sparrow still struggling with bits of cotton, its own building materials, you know, cotton, some straw, and like that. He again brought that long broom and whisked it away. And Prabhupada said, living in it is like this sparrow. He doesn't know what powerful force he is set up against.
He can't even see you. He doesn't even understand. There is one Hari Shori Das acting under the order of his guru is bent upon destroying my dwelling here. If you tell the sparrow, he is the one, he did it. Will he understand? No. Similarly, try to put ourselves in the railroad of that sparrow and we feel, who is bent upon bringing misery on me? My neighbor, my boss, my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, who? They are all agents. They don't even know that they are causing this misery. They themselves are miserable to somebody else. But here, Prabhupada is saying that devotees are not subjected to such illusory thinking and its subsequent frustration. If you think you are independent, you get frustrated. So there is a natural dependence position as sincere servants of the Lord. Prabhupada advised, if your crisis gets over or you come into some other crisis, be in your position as a sincere servant of the Lord. So such sincere servants, they come into various categories. The Netter of Devotion describes them as confidential, very, very confidential. Chief of the confidential servants is Sridham. Rupa Goswami describes how Sridhama looks. He has a yellow dress, carries a buffalo horn, his turban is reddish copper, he wears a nice garland on his neck, and is always engaged in joking about Krishna. He cracks jokes on Krishna, by the way, and challenges him. If somebody praises that Krishna is Giridhari, and Sridhama says, you really think that I don't have the power to carry this, to bear the weight of this mountain? I thought, let Kanhaiya do it, no problem. And he's convinced about it. Because just few days ago, he had defeated Krishna in a wrestling match. So he says, if I defeated him just a few days ago, and today you are saying he's Giridhari, and yeah, I can't do it. So Sridhama, Krishna, Balaram, so many other friends, they were playing hide and seek near Govardhan area. Govardhan, as you know, has many caves. So Sridhama, not willing to be found out, hid himself deep in a cave. And suddenly something very strange happened. Krishna had the urge to go to Navadvip and begin his Chaitanya Leela. Now, if a living entity in the spiritual world gets what he wants, that's the only place where you can really say, I get what I want and be happy about it. So Krishna Balaram, they are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to begin his pastimes. He has already met Nityananda Prabhu. And he's saying, I am feeling separation from Sridham. Where is Sridham? Get him. So Nityananda Prabhu says, but where is he? I sort of forgot, now in this Leela. So he says, he is hiding in that cave in Govardhan. Go and get him. So Nityananda Prabhu goes in this Kali Yuga sort of aligned material body. Everything is adjusted accordingly. And he calls out, Sridham, Sridham. And Sridhama says, who's calling? Strange voice. So he comes out and says, he looks down like, hey, who are you? Because Sridhama in his Dwapar Yuga Vapu is like a huge 11 and a half, 12 feet kind of huge body. And he says, well, you don't know me, I'm Balaram. He says, Balaram? How can you be Balaram? He said, look, there is no time to lose. Krishna has become a Chaitanya. He is Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, but he's lost his consciousness. He become a Chaitanya. And he's calling for you. Please come. He says, hey, look, you guys cheated me if you are really Balaram. I was hiding here waiting for the game to end, and well, suddenly you all just left like that. He said, well, he had the urge to immediately enact his Navadvip pastime, so he has gone there. He says, I still can't believe you. He said, well, Shidam, if I defeat you in a running race, will you agree? He said, yeah. So Shidama put, he's a wrestler, so he adjusted his dhoti like a wrestler, tight. And just sprinted across. 4 times he went around Govardhan. At the 4th time, his dhoti became a bit loose due to so much of running. So he just, for a split second, waited to just tie it up and found this person called Nityananda just close behind, about to touch him. He said, hey, now I understand, you really are Balram, as you say. But then how, when, what is this Chaitanya Lila and what exactly are you supposed to do? He said, look, you just come there, you will love it. It's nice. I can assure you, it's a new game. Come. He said, hey, wait. I'm not going to come and take some bird somewhere and stay in somebody's womb for 10 months and then come out and all that stuff I don't like. He said, no. Everything is adjusted. No problem. You don't need to do any kind of these things. Just come with us. He said, actually, I'm tired, you know, after this running. So can you do me a favor? Can you carry me on your shoulders? So Nityananda says, no. Siddham, I'm really Balram. The moment you will make me, you will sit on my shoulders, you will tell everybody, this guy got defeated today. So I'm not going to do that. Normally, in our matches, the defeated party has to carry the victorious party on their shoulders all the way from the jungle, from the vanas, back home to Vrindavan. And of course, when they come to the village, they try to put a big show that, we won, isn't it? And all the defeated party people have to be like, oh yeah, wait for tomorrow. So Shidama sometimes used to lose, normally used to win. Of course, why Krishna allows him to win? That's their leela, that's the fun. Why Krishna wins? To give Shidama pleasure. Why Krishna loses? To give Shidama pleasure. Why Shidama wins? To give Krishna pleasure. Why Shidama loses? To give Krishna pleasure. It's not just win-win, it's win-win-win-win. This combination doesn't work in this material world. It's heads I win, tails you lose. Isn't it? So that's the main difference. So this Shidama came as Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Today, at Khanakul Krishna Nagar, which is near the steel town of Durgapur. Sorry to give such a nasty reference. But that's where we went when we had gone to see whether 1,800 people can fit in Khanakul Krishna Nagar. And we came to the conclusion that they can't. Maybe sometime later, or maybe Madan Gopal Prabhu can take us in his yatras. But it's a very sweet place, Khanakul Krishna Nagar. And Abhiram Gopal Thakur appeared in the family of a Brahmana, very expert in scriptures, in music, playing musical instruments, especially in dancing. And his wife was also known as Malini Devi, same name as Srivas Thakur's wife. One day in a dream, a deity came in his dream. One day while he was sleeping, he said, I am Gopinath. I want you to serve me. So Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he found the exact spot, unearthed that deity, and that deity is being still served in that temple over there. People were so happy, so overjoyed, that when they dug that place, a kund was formed. It's called Ramakund. And still people drink, bathe in that water reverentially. And since he was expert in singing, dancing, all his time would be consumed in that. And one day, he had the urge to play the flute. And there was no flute nearby. Somehow there is nothing nearby. There was one log, a big tree, all its branches and twigs trimmed away. It was a log, 100 people could not lift it properly. And Abhiram Gopal Thakur just lifted it and held it like this. So Balram's party is a bit eccentric and too creative, even in Krishna Leela. And when he comes in Nityananda's party, Nityananda's Balram, they do these kind of things. Just dance for 9 hours, 72 hours, or keep on chanting, keep on singing. Eat, they would eat like anything. One Srila Prabhupada asked that, why you tell us sense control, control, control? We find these people eating all the time. Prabhupada said, well, if you eat with the only motive and thought that this was enjoyed by Krishna, and that itself is enough to satiate you completely, what you do after that is just mechanical thing. Can you do that? He said, no. Therefore, Prabhupada said, for you and me, there is control. But for these devotees, they just do it because they are just hypnotized by the fact that Krishna has tasted this. And they don't know what happens after that. So, this flute lila also is the same thing. The Bhakti Ratnakar explains how Srinivas Acharya Thakur, before of course he became Srinivas Acharya, he was told that go to Navadvip, visit all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu had already left. So when he came to Khanakul Krishna Nagar, Abhiram Gopal said, I know he's coming. So as soon as he meets him, in a very formal way, Abhiram Gopal says, here are 10 kaudis. Kaudi is old coin, lowest denomination. Buy some bhoga, go to the temple, offer it, cook it yourself, and then we'll meet. Now with 10 kaudis, what can you get? Even at that time, it was very meager. But Srinivas Acharya, out of his natural humility, just went, purchased something, prepared the bhoga, very, very lovingly, offered it, and was waiting for Krishna to eat. After Krishna finished eating, he took the prasad out, was about to honor, and 4 people came there and said, we have been thinking that if you have some prasad, we can honor it. He said, oh yes. What was meager was shared between these 4 people. He very, very reverentially served them. They left. Then he collected their maha. And Srinivas only ate that. The moment he did that, Abhiram Gopal appeared there and said, you have passed the test. I was just trying to test you whether do you have this urge and this culture of honoring Vaishnavas? Then Srinivas Acharya was so overjoyed. He never knew that this was a test for me. And then Abhiram Gopal Thakur brought out his Jai Mangal. This Jai Mangal was a whip, chabuk. And while dancing, he touched him. The moment he touched, Srinivas Acharya went in a frenzy of bliss. He touched him again, laughing. It was super. He touched him thrice. It was super duper. He has never done that to anybody. He tried to touch him again. His wife came and said, please stop. He will not bear that ecstasy. You can, but everybody is not like you. And he said, oh, okay, okay. Abhiram Gopal, in his enthusiasm, would offer obeisances to people, to stones. If somebody says, this is a Jagrut Devata, and one pranam from Abhiram, and either it would become dust or crack. Someone would bring that. This is a very powerful shaligram. It can give you wealth. One pranam from Abhiram and so people are actually afraid. One Gopal guru, he was a Gopal boy, small boy, and he saw Lord Chaitanya catching his tongue between his 2 fingers and going out. And he said, where are you going, my lord? He says, Bahir Dasha. Bahir Disha. Bahir Disha means for answering call of nature. So he said, why are you holding your tongue? My tongue has a very bad habit. It keeps on chanting Krishna Nam all the time. So while we are honoring, while we are not honoring the Lord by committing bodily activities, just like evacuating, I don't think we should be chanting Krishna Naam at that time. So he said, but Krishna Naam is pure. You can chant Krishna Naam anytime, anywhere. What makes you think that even while evacuating, you should not chant? And Mahaprabhu said, hey, you are my guru. It's a leela. But that's how Lord Chaitanya gave this small boy the credit. And everybody started calling him Gopal Guru. And one day in Puri, news came that Abhiram Gopal has come and he wants to meet Gopal Guru and offer him pranam. It's just like somebody says, there is a warrant on your name. And you say, please hide me somewhere. Like Jayadrath telling Duryodhan, please, tomorrow it may be my death, hide me somewhere. So this is the Shuddha Sattvic version of that. But Lord Chaitanya, when Gopal Guru came, he said, you don't need to worry anything. Abhiram is the most loving person. So Abhiram came, and it was already dramatic. He said, please, let me offer my pranam. And he offered full obeisances. And nothing happened. And then he embraced him. Whoever is to be embraced by Abhiram Gopal Thakur is to get that pure Krishna prema. In fact, when he heard that Nityananda Prabhu is married now, 6 times he went and offered pranam whenever Nityananda's wives were pregnant. And all their progeny died. They couldn't bear it. Then Mother Ganga took birth. She was called Ganga Devi. And Birachandra took birth. The moment Birachandra, Virabhadra, Nityananda Prabhu's son, appeared, and Abhiram Gopal Thakur offered him pranam, and nothing happened, he said, the real one has come now. So of course, it doesn't mean that he killed him or something. And we don't really know what happened to those personalities who took birth. Perhaps some, on the pretext of some curse or something, they were supposed to take birth for just a moment or whatever, still birth, and that punishment is enough. Just like a loving grandfather, if he finds his grandson playing truant, he says, today I'm going to give you 3 slaps. And say, 1, 2, 3. Okay, go. That's not a slap exactly. So similarly, if some personality is told that just go to the world and come back, that's a punishment for you. For them, the material world, please don't. But then I was sent here. That itself is like a completely embarrassing situation. Of course, for us, what's the problem? You know, it's a nice place. So that's the knowledge which we have to cultivate. So that is the glory of this great associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, one of the 12 Gopals, who is Sridhama in Krishna Leela. And we'll stop here. I've gone about time, 10 minutes. I'm sorry for that. Grantharashmad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur Tirubhav Mahotsav ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki, Sri Khanakul Krishnanagar Dham ki, Hitai Gaur Premanande.